And your phone calls this hour. So what do you think? We'll be back in a moment with Stuart Swerdlow on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, what if Tom Cruise is correct and we do get hit with a real invasion and we don't recognize the staged one?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point. Because I have other investigations that are going on with researchers that I know working with the objects that have been spotted in the last year or so in the Kuiper's Belt, which is that region of space beyond Neptune and Pluto. And as your listeners may know, on the news they've been saying, especially last summer, that large objects had been spotted there. Almost every other day they've come up with a new one that they've discovered. And that is what led to the reclassification of Pluto as not a planet anymore, for example. But these objects that have appeared in the Kuiper's Belt have not ever been seen before, and they appear to be moving as if they were under some kind of an intelligence. So my feeling is that maybe there is some group out there in the Kuiper's Belt that is monitoring what's going on here and may make some kind of a move. From what I understand, and I do have connections to certain intelligence agencies in different countries, that they don't know what they are, and they've never seen anything like it before, and it's a bit of a concern. So my feeling is they may try to do a staged alien invasion before anything happens in order to consolidate their power here on Earth, before any real invasion does occur.
In terms of the mindset of a human being, Stuart, after a staged invasion, what do you think human beings would do?
Well, that's why programming exists, because they will do what they're programmed to do, and that is to accept this new way of life, to accept this new alien presence, which has really always been here, and to go on with their lives in the way that would be conducive to the new state of affairs on the Earth. You know, on the commercial breaks, I hear something about 2012 that someone spoke about, and
right.
I happen to agree with that person's statement about 2012 just being, you know, the center of time instead of the end of time. 2012, you know, what programming does, how it works is it can't hold or latch onto the mind unless it connects to a thought pattern that is already there. So, for example, if you have a fear of spiders naturally, they can use that and program some kind of a spider fear into you, for example, just as an example. So if you have a fear that 2012 is going to be the end of time because the Mayans said so, then they can use that as a programming function so that everyone's worried about 2012 and doesn't know what's going to happen, and then they can arrange something to happen at 2012 to fulfill the prophecy.
And so,
that's what I see happening. 2012 is just a year like any other year, and the Mayan prophecies really pertain to the Mayans, because if you study their history and their previous cataclysmic predictions, that happened many times over their history as far as the end of a civilization, but it pertained to their particular culture, and also their prophecies and their predictions were based on sunspot activity, which, if your listeners may know, we're starting to enter into a very heavy period of sunspot activity, which affects communications on Earth and even geological disturbances on Earth. So that's really what 2012 is about. But if you take that and you program it into some big fear and the end of the world, then people are going to be very upset and worried and follow whatever you tell them to do.
How do you deprogram someone then, Stuart?
Well, that's what has been I've developed over a period of years. And I must let the listeners know that never, if you had asked me years ago, would you do deprogramming or is that what your profession would be, I would also balk at that because that's not what I would want to do. But unfortunately, in my years working with people as a mental intuitive and helping them with their health and their mind pattern, programming has come up in almost every single person that I've come across. And so by default, I had to start doing deprogramming work and developing deprogramming techniques with people. And, you know, as something goes in, that's how it has to come out. And so one of the things that I've developed is an archetype symbol that was part of what I call language of hyperspace, which I talked about last time I was on your show. There is a symbol called a brown merger symbol, which you can read about on my website and in my books. This brown merger symbol, when mentally created at the pineal gland at the center of the head, actually acts as an energetic needle and thread to reintegrate the components of the fragmented personality. So it's a way of starting a process of putting your personality whole again and getting to the core personality. When they fracture the personality into the cube, into this matrix cube, there are other constructs that they put into this cube energetically in order to hold it together. Sometimes it could be a construct that looks like a castle or a hotel, which is why sometimes people dream about those things or have a predisposition towards that kind of a structure. Each of the rooms in the hotel or castle or building represents a compartment in the programming matrix or a part of your personality.
Let's go to the phones then, Stuart. You ready?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yes, this is Tambra in New Orleans, Louisiana. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi.
Hello, Stuart. You are right on the mark. I've read a book called The Pleiadian Agenda by Barbara Hand Clow. I wish you'd have her on the program. In the age of Leo, between 10,800 BC and 8640 BC, we were in the photon band. We are now exiting the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And in December 21st, 2012, the sun will be fully in the photon band. And that is why we are exiting the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And at year zero, which was the death of Christ, web started being woven. And it's a control. And fortunately, the good news is, folks, and I highly recommend you read this book, is that the Pleiadians have been observing us for 26,000 years, and they are going to help us ascend through this web, which is going to become like a liquid light, and we are going to transform. And the fear, and they talk about the world management team and all of these iconic that are being presented to us, and they laugh at the television because we have our own telepathic abilities. And I'm really excited to talk to you all. I mean, I have so much more to say, but this book is a very encyclopedic book. And Stuart, you're right on the mark. I have been harassed since I was about 19 years old, and I know exactly where you're coming from, and I know exactly what they're doing, and I'm not afraid of them. And, you know, I'm in New Orleans, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and in this house that I live in, which is 102 years old. So I just want to thank you all, and I can't believe I got through. And the good news is there is a way out of this. So
now, what's the way out?
When the sun comes fully into the photon band, December 21st, 2012.
Okay.
The Pleiadians come interdimensionally. There's 12 dimensions. Christ is in the 12th dimension. The Pleiadians can only basically connect through us. They're like in a faceted, almost like a kaleidoscopic faceted type of dimensional viewpoint, because they're such a distance away from us. And they cannot get caught. They will get caught in the third dimension or the fourth. So they look at us from the fifth. There's several dimensions, you know, they just through telepathy, et cetera, and enlightenment. And by the way, I started yoga 2 months ago, and I am starting to really gear towards Buddhism and Hinduism. And I know I'm in the Bible Belt, but I'm deprogramming myself.
All right. Well, let's get your take, Stuart.
Incredible people have come to New Orleans to help.
All right, Tambra, thank you. Stuart, you want to react to some of the things she said?
Oh, yeah, she said a lot of things there. I would, if I may, before I say anything else, say that New Orleans has been known to be a very big ritualistic center for the Illuminati. In other words, a lot of ritual ceremonies are performed there. And the hurricane that hit that area was part of a, what they call a global ritual, a global sacrifice, in order to achieve certain energies for the events and goals that they intend to do in the future. And by the way,
are you saying they developed Hurricane Katrina?
Oh, it was artificially created and steered right to New Orleans. And as most of your listeners already know, those levees were intact after the hurricane passed, and people in the area reported some kind of an electronic burst or pulse that then created the levees to collapse and flood the city. So it was a planned event. And in fact, there was a woman who was who is a seismologist at UCLA, and she had said 2 years before Katrina, she said that there will be three major events that hit the United States. One of them would be a terrorist attack in New York, which occurred. Then she said, and this was a year before Katrina, she said a major hurricane striking the Gulf area around New Orleans. And then she said another major disaster would be the destruction of Los Angeles in a major cataclysmic earthquake, which I feel could happen at any moment.
Right, and I'm going back to L.A. in a few weeks. Great.
You better learn my protection techniques before you go there.
Well, if you're in the middle of an earthquake, how can you get protected?
Well, if you keep yourself in a violet protection energy field and use what I call the ultimate protection technique, which is a tetrahedron inside an octahedron, nothing will happen to you no matter what's going on around you.
So I'll make sure my studio there stays intact.
Yes, you might want to think about moving it elsewhere.
Well, I do have the backup in the cave in St. Louis, but I need Los Angeles to get the signal out.
I understand that, but you know, knowing what's about to occur, we have to take our precautions and make our plans. But going back to what that woman said, in some ways, there's some programming issues in what she spoke about. A lot of what she mentioned to me connects to the New World Religion, which is being imposed on the Earth. Yes, there are beings from the Pleiades star system, but there are seven stars in the Pleiades, and so talking about Pleiadians is like talking about Europeans. Now, which ones are they? You know, the Russians, the Germans, the French, the Portuguese, there's so many different ones. Every one of those stars has planets, and each one of those planets has civilizations. The Pleiadian star system is younger than our own star system, which means no life naturally evolved there. It emigrated from elsewhere, which if you read my Blue Blood, True Blood book, you know that these are really refugees from the Lyrian star system. So there's a lot of different connotations in this particular topic. A lot of the Pleiadian information, I'm sorry to say, and I know your listeners may disagree, a lot of it has to do with the New Age government mind control system, where the Pleiadians are these space brothers coming to help, when in fact a lot of it is just government-created programming.
Okay, let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello, George Norrie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Jack. I'm calling from Cameron Park, a longtime listener.
California.
Caller.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, he's got a really interesting, you've got a really interesting program, and I agree with everything Stuart says. I was just wondering if you're familiar with the book by Hal Lindsey, The Great Late Planet Earth.
Oh, yes, I'm sure he is.
And a lot of things that he's talking about, this is what Hal Lindsey talks about. And as far as the mind control, I'm a vet from 70 to 73, U.S. Army, and I talk to a lot of vets, and they all have the similar kind of thing. They all love watching History Channel. They all love the Discovery Channel.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of wondering if that's some kind of programming that they did in or in this other, the second phase. He was talking about the blue light. Are these going to be ex-veterans doing this kind of thing that he's talking about? Or I'll go off the air and listen for your answer.
Okay. Are ex-veterans doing some of the work? I'm not sure.
Okay, well, hi, Jack. Anyway, yes, and believe it or not, a lot of my clientele are veterans from the various, going back to the Vietnam War and even some from the Korean and World War II. Yes, they used a lot of the soldiers in the military on experimental basis, especially the ones used in Vietnam. In fact, you know that there are literally thousands of missing in action soldiers that have never been identified or located, and many of these soldiers were actually taken to places where they were programmed. In fact, we recently heard of one in North Korea who finally came forward, and he had a Korean family, and he finally stepped forward and said that he had been mind controlled there, North Korea being one of the very big mind control centers on the planet, which is why it was a closed society for so long and still is. So yes, the military uses their own people for programming, experimentation. A lot of the veterans do have deep programming in them. Some of it is what I call vigilante programming, which is that they will be going about when the time comes to enforce the New World Order law and report on people who are not literally following the program. We've seen premature activations of vigilante programming in the recent past, for example, with the sniper shootings in the Washington, D.C., Virginia area that occurred. We see other vigilantes occurring across the United States and even across the world. And what they do is, before they fully activate a program globally, they test it here and there to see if the programming is working. So they literally trigger a couple of people to see if the function is intact. And that's how they know whether they need to change something, recalibrate something through satellite transmission, or if everything is ready in place and ready to go. So yes, vets are definitely part of that system. That doesn't mean all of them are, but there is a high percentage of the veterans in this country and elsewhere who will be used as part of the various agendas as they become available to active function.
Okay, next up, first-time caller line. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Cicely, and I'm located in Hayward.
And that's also in California. Go ahead.
Yeah. Stuart, I need you to answer this question. I listened to one of your other interviews on YouTube. I was introduced to you by my husband, and one thing that I don't think you were allowed to really get into was the hierarchy of the Draco race, and I really would like to know more about that.
Hi, Cicely.
And I think you talked about that race on the last time you were with me, but go ahead.
Yes, I think I did, and I do mention it in the Blue Blood, True Blood book. Yes, the Draco hierarchy, and again, I'll just go back to the very beginning. There are seven reptilian species that make up the Draco Empire from the Draco star system. And the Hindu religion, the caste system of the Hindu religion, is actually based on the Draco hierarchy. In the hierarchy, there is an elite group which are known as the white-winged reptilians, which people have reported seeing. They actually have very white skin and blue eyes. And then there's a warrior class. There is a philosophical class. There's many different layers that go all the way down to what we would call in the Hindu caste system as the untouchables. And those are basically the drones and the workers that go about getting everything in order and doing the dirty work, literally. So, yes, there is a hierarchy. I had talked about once the Soviet Union sent a spacecraft to descend beneath the clouds of Venus to take photographs before the heat of that planet destroyed the cameras. And one of the pictures that were sent back, this was in the 1980s, was seven domed areas on the surface of Venus.
And stay with us, Stuart. We'll let you finish up on that question of the Dracos when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, you keep calling. Stuart will keep talking. We'll be back in a moment, though. We'll continue to take phone calls at least this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, before we go back to more calls, let's let you wrap up on your Draco theory, okay? Go ahead.
Right. I was talking about the domed areas that were spotted by Soviet spacecraft on Venus, and there were seven equally sized domes, perfectly circular, And that was actually reported in the late 1980s in the U.S. newspapers. And NASA was analyzing the photographs and came to the conclusion that they were actually natural formations, never explaining how they could become so perfectly circular and spaced out evenly. If you understand about the Draco hierarchy of the reptilian civilizations, you would know that the seven species do not mix with each other. They have their place. They are also programmed to perform their functions, which is why they're kept separately. And it would make sense, then, that they would have separate living quarters on a place where they would invade or set up a shop, so to speak. And actually, I did a seminar on this called Galactic History, which was recently set to music, which exclusively on SnowCap, you can get it on my MySpace location or on my website. And SnowCap has Galactic History, which I did this music with a man by the name of Hervig Maurer, who was recently gotten nominated for an Academy Award for his work on Apocalypta. And he also worked on The Passion, and he also did the sound effects for King of the Hill. So I was very proud to work with him. And any of your listeners want to know about Galactic History, go to MySpace, Stuart Swerdlow, go to the SnowCap player and listen to that, or you can go on my site and go to the SnowCap player and listen to it.
Very good. And now to the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up. Hi there.
Hello. How you guys doing?
We're well. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Harry Smith. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Okay, Harry,
I want to make
ahead.
This real quick. I understand what he's saying about subliminal messages in music, but I mean, the reality behind it is it's going to be there regardless, you know? I mean, for instance, when you have commercials on the radio, there's catchy tunes and stuff that make you say to yourself, oh, I'll call here or you know, I'll listen to this channel. You know, that's just something that's been there and that will always be there. You know what I'm saying?
It's part of marketing.
And the other thing I wanted to say is not too long ago, I had a dream about my deceased grandfather. And he was coaxing me into this this basement. And he was showing me this nook, like in the roof. And I went there and I looked up in there and I found a Thompson machine gun, an old Thompson machine gun. And, I mean, I understand that really doesn't have that much to do with you guys talking about, but I was wondering, do you guys think that that can be some sort of type of extra dimension where people can communicate?
Well, that's a long shot, Stuart. I don't know if you're into the dream end of interpretation.
Well, you know that I do dream interpretation as well.
I want to. Oh, all right. I'll let you handle it then.
Sure. I'm kind of a one-stop shop. But yes, Harry, you actually have something there. Well, going first, I'll talk about your what you mentioned about movies and music, etc. And you know, I do a very close connection to the music industry, and they do have subliminals in there. The songs are written a certain way. The music is written a certain way. You know, thanks to Sirius and Clear Channel Radio, only certain things are allowed to be on the air, and that's why we have a very limited number of artists who are allowed to get their work broadcast. So, yes, that's part of the programming. And remember, in the 50s and 60s, when you went to the movies, there would be a little flash of a Coke or a popcorn or something in what the trailers you were watching to make you stimulated into buying those things. And that was the beginning of mind control and programming in this country. And that's been extrapolated to much more than just the desire for Coke or popcorn. It's the desire for a lot of other things now. But going back to your dream, Harry, there are many... There are two kinds of dreams that I categorize, and each one is symbolic. Program people have about 70% of their dreams are programming dreams, which means they are releasing information from their programming matrix. And the rest of the dreams are what I call oversoul dreams, or coming from the real part of self that is a status report of what your life is about at the moment. That's, you only dream about yourself. Now, when you dream about finding a machine gun in the basement of a house, that's very symbolic. I don't feel that was a programming dream. I think that was something else. Dreaming about your grandfather, that could have been a contact with your deceased grandfather. Very often the deceased do contact us in the dream state because that's when we're most receptive to that kind of a contact. But grandfathers, symbolically in a dream, represent our very old spiritual creative thought patterns that are coming to the surface. And a machine gun or that kind of a gun is actually a phallic symbol. And the basement represents the foundation of your being. So if you put all that together, I would say that that dream represented some kind of a sexual issue that you need to creatively look at the very foundation of your mind pattern, which is apparently paramount in your life at this point.
Interesting, Stuart, how you came about that. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello. Rather than get too otherworldly or new age, I think some of the things you touched on briefly about how more conventional means of brainwashing are going on right now, leading us into a disastrous war against Iran. George, you mentioned earlier Daniel Ellsberg has said this in his article that you said Google up Daniel Ellsberg coup. Mm-hmm. And he says that this will lead to detention camps in this country that this government has been setting in place for a long time, that Iran is not a threat. With the complicity of the Democrats and the media, are setting us up for an even greater catastrophe war than Iraq is, and that this will lead to the end of our constitutional rights and detention camps. And I was also reading on commondreams.org, Scott Ritter, the chief inspector, is even stronger in saying this has to be the main contest right now against the corporate media's propaganda, using the same lies and the same liars, the same phony think tanks, the Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck's, and all the rest of them to lead us into a catastrophe against Iran. And if you look at...
And some of those are my friends, though.
Well, I think they're not my friends, though, but I think that if you just look at the situation, this demonization of Iran, after we have overthrown their government and installed a vicious Shah dictatorship that killed and tortured scores of thousands, and then, if they had, for instance, as we have attacked and occupied and bombed Afghanistan and Iraq on their borders, and they had invaded and did the same thing to Canada and Mexico, and were sending in terrorists, as we're sending in the MEK terrorists.
Okay, before you get to Jack, before you get too far down your own agenda here, a question for Stuart?
Well, I wanted to point out that he's right. I think we have to not talk about these things in abstractions. We're in a critical situation right now where the media, the Democrats, the Republicans are leading us into a catastrophe. And even people like Ray McGovern, the former CIA brief for five presidents, says these people are crazy. Yet the media is cheerfully leading us into the same kind of disaster on a larger scale than we have in Iraq. This is, I think, the earthbound types of conventional propaganda that we've got to worry about. For instance, if you would Google Operation Mockingbird, it tells you how the media has collaborated with the Central Intelligence Agency in brainwashing us for these kinds of wars for the last 70 years, and they've had the cooperation of the media. And if you just Google things like anti-communist lies, or if you Google things like U.S. support for Nazis, or even Zionist support for Nazis, you'll find out how we've been deceived as to who the real enemy is in this country.
Is that brainwashing, Stuart?
Well, that is conditioning, and your caller is absolutely correct. And we are being set up for the next war, which will be with Iran. I don't feel that the Iranian war will be on land as it was in Iraq. I think it'll be more of a saturation bombing. I think it'll be more of an air war. And I also feel that the Israelis will be more involved in it than of course, in Iraq. But yes, I know for a fact that when George Bush Jr. took office, he told privately to certain people, one of whom that I know, that he intended to eliminate seven countries in Central Asia that were in the way of establishing his New World Order. And so Iran was one of them, Iraq was one of them. Remember, we created Saddam Hussein. And your caller is correct. We established the Shah in Iran, and we also eliminated him. They play with world leaders in such countries like a chessboard or a computer game, where you replace things as needed and create the images that you want to create. You know, I think I mentioned the last time I was on your show about Saddam Hussein, the German television identified at least 10 different versions of him. You know, which one did they find in this hole in the ground when they captured him? You know, and how come the scar over his eye the next day vanished mysteriously?
Are you saying they executed someone else?
I'm going to say that Saddam Hussein is more than one of them, just like Osama, bin Laden, is also a figment of the government's imagination. Yes, there was a person like that existed, but they take that and they create something else with it. And they'll never find Osama because he doesn't exist as they say he exists. It's just a fear issue to put into the public so that we have an ongoing reason to be there.
But sure, you actually think they did not get and execute the real Saddam Hussein?
Of course not. Of course not. Do you really think that Saddam, and I knew people who knew him years ago, as a matter of fact. I had a lot of Iraqi friends at the time. And let me tell you something. Do you really think that Saddam Hussein would live for months in a hole underground after spending decades in lavish palaces with guards around? Do you think that he would wind up there and then be captured? I mean, it's absolutely laughable what the media has portrayed of him, and everyone believes it.
Well, who's the guy they executed? Why didn't he come kicking and screaming, saying, wait a minute, I may have been the double, but I'm not him?
Because he's programmed to believe that he was him. That's what programming is about. There are alters in each individual that come out as personalities that may be totally different to the original personality. This person that they portrayed as Saddam Hussein, if you look at his picture and his facial features and compare it to the pictures of 30 years ago, it's not the same person.
Well, things change on your body after a while.
But there are still ways, you know, police have forensics that can age a child that was kidnapped 30 years ago and show as an adult. Same thing, they can take that picture and say what this person should look like at the current time period. That's not what this person looked like.
Well, Stuart, I know what you're saying. I know what the caller is saying in terms of the manipulation in order to create events to maximize what you want to do. And there's no doubt that that is a very strong possibility in Iran, creating a case, maybe even some kind of catastrophic event in order to go in and justify an attack. I think that's all very possible. But I also think, it's bizarre. Where is Osama bin Laden? Why aren't we going after him? It is weird. I mean, I will give you this. Everything is not as it appears to be.
That's right. That's right. Now, with the technology that the government has, where they can pinpoint a fly crawling on your shoulder, don't you think they would know where Osama bin Laden is? Don't you think they would know where Steve Fawcett's plane is? This is all a scam on the public. This is all a delusion, a diversion.
Speaking of Steve Fawcett, our remote viewer, Ed Dames, is going to have a report for us next week, and he's sending in a crew to try to look for Steve Fawcett. He believes it's there somewhere. What does Steve Fawcett have to do with it?
Well, it's just another media event, you know, Steve Fawcett. You know, and it's also interesting that the same thing happened when JFK Jr.'s plane went down in Long Island Sound. Now, that's the most heavily monitored area on the face of the earth, and it took them a week to find his plane. So, again, when they create a situation and they want to create a story, a cover story, they make this big drama around it. And it goes on for time and time until people finally forget about it. And then they come up with an answer and people go, oh, so that's what happened. And then they drop the story. My opinion is Steve Fawcett staged his own disappearance for whatever his reason was. And a lot of these people do things like that. And I think they'll never find him.
Yeah, you think he's alive somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, why would he, a guy like that doesn't vanish without a trace. especially in an area so close to Area 51.
Well, it depends on where he went, though, Stuart. Nobody knows. The guy didn't have a flight pattern.
He wasn't supposedly going that far, you know. And you know, that area, Nevada, as you know, 80% of Nevada is owned by the government. That is heavily monitored. They know exactly where he went.
What do you think happened? Honestly.
I think he staged his disappearance. I think that he went somewhere else and wanted to finish his life here on Earth in a way that would be dramatic and mysterious, and then he went somewhere else with them. And that has happened before with other people.
What about his wife?
Well, you know, people move on.
Oh, come on, Stuart. You think he staged his disappearance, left his wife, just to have his own life?
You know, that's happened before with other people.
Well, a few people, but I don't think Steve Fawcett would do it, for crying out loud. He was a multimillionaire balloonist.
But it was, you know, if you look at these people's lives and you see what they were involved in, the story gets a little bit wider.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not trying to put you down. Please, you understand that. I don't do that to guess. Is there anything that is not some kind of government mind-controlled trick that's being perpetrated on us, in your mind?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the entire planet is designed to trigger people constantly. Everything on TV, everything in the stores, the food that you eat, the clothes that you wear, all of that is designed to enhance and keep the momentum of the programming going. Do you know that the United States allows 15,000 chemicals in food that they don't have to put in the label? You know that they put.
Well, is that mind control, Stuart, or stupidity and greed?
Oh, that's not stupidity. It's brilliant what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the effect that they want to have, and it's working, and people believe it. You know, most of the people out there have blinders on. People come up to me and they say, "Oh, can't we turn this around? Can't we change it?" And I said, "Yes, you can change it if people will wake up and remove their victimization and take control of their own lives, then yes, it can absolutely, it could change tomorrow. But is that feasible? Does it look like it's happening? No. Most people are more worried about how they're going to pay for gasoline, how they're going to pay their mortgage, if their children are going to go to school. That's what they're worried about. Most people aren't caring about who's running Iran. They don't care about what's going on in Iraq. They care about what's going on in their pocketbooks and in their homes, because they want to survive, and they've made life now so difficult and tenuous that people are worried about just getting through each day. And so they're not worried about global situations anymore. They're worried about their own lives. And that's understandable. But in order to change things, we need to become globally aware on a level that goes underneath what the media is telling us.
All right. Well, stick around and stay with us, if you would, Stuart, because we're going to make another run in our phone calls with you. Lots of people still on hold, and they haven't gotten through yet. So we'll go with you. Don't hang up if you've been on hold for a long time. I'll get to you when we come back in just a few moments right here on Coast to Coast AM.